Hello and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. I am OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love, and we're joining you here live from a remote.
Live from New York. It's Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Christ. And now they're all on Zoom.
On Zoom.
And they're all psycho.
Psychotic. People, look at the comedians. They're in little boxes. All the comedians in one place.
Just gearing up to flee Manhattan as soon as they get.
Yeah. Oh, buddies. Things are bad when our clowns are making us cry.
Are rents going to get cheaper in Manhattan? Than
I heard.
I think it's going to happen.
But who knows? Rents are basically, they're turning into like an impressionist act. I've been talking to a lot of people because I'm currently in the process of moving. And some of the people that I'm talking to are like, hey, so we've got this 2-bedroom and you know, we've got the lease and we've got to pay something, but we're not there. Mm-hmm. And you could take it over for the next X amount of months for however much you want.
That's great. You should do that.
I was thinking about it. I mean, I hate the idea of moving again, but...
Yeah, but they're probably not coming back.
Oh.
For like a year at least, you know?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's a gamble, but...
It's not bad, dude. It's not bad. Like,
yeah.
I know moving sucks, but you could like keep your like unessential stuff in boxes and.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, this is an interesting game. All of a sudden,
it's so fucking crazy because you know I'm also in a similar boat. I'm probably going to have to move. I don't know 100% yet, but it's an extremely volatile, stressful situation. But leaning towards moving regardless, because if my partner Joey and I are going to stay here, it's just going to be easier if we're just have our own place. If we're just in a 1-bedroom, it's less exposure to virus to worry about.
Yeah, true.
Because the you know, the powers that be, the mayor and the governor, are going to force everyone to go back to work.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And humans, including roommates, are all vectors now. They're not people. Don't confuse that issue.
We're definitely all people, but it's like, this is, you know, this is why everything's so volatile. I mean, and to update folks, because, you know, me and you were both engaged in withholding rent. Like some sort of rent strike. It's not really a strike if you literally can't pay, but it basically is because it's in solidarity with everyone else, millions and millions of renters who can't pay right now. And it's forcing a lot of really important issues to the front of New York City, meaning like that, you know, the people in charge, I think they knew they had a big problem on their hand, but I don't think they realized how big the problem is going to be and how the deep failure and how it's just going to unravel so many different systems, so many social systems, and so many
and we're already seeing it. Yeah. Which I think that's the generous, optimistic way to view what our governance is leaving us to.
You know, we've said on the show before that they are actively committing genocide. True on a lot of levels. I think they know they're committing genocide, but I don't think they realize how much genocide they are signing on to right now.
Yeah, I think they are quickly beginning to realize as, you know, it's like as Trump's updates start talking about hundreds of thousands of deaths and kind of normalizing those statistics to the point where people are just going to expect it as a part of daily life. It's like, yeah, we're just kind of allowing the genocide to occur in the most like guilt eschewed way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry. Oh my God. Well, I'm not the virus. Like, what did you want me to do about it? I'm just over here tweeting.
Right.
And then, and you know, as people start to just fight amongst each other, like, you know, states' rights, open the economy, protesters against people who want life for all and a better future. You know, we're gonna just start to see.
There, you know, that like we said, the states' rights or like reopen protests are like totally astroturfed, but then they, you know, they get true believers through that astroturfing, and it becomes. The media has a desire to show that type of protest rather than, like, you know, the nurses calling for better conditions, the transit workers calling for better conditions, the grocery store workers calling for better
In waves, because we can't possibly depict a nuanced simultaneous reality. So it's like at the beginning, right. We saw all of these heart-wrenching renditions of the nurses in the garbage bags, and like, look at this, it's on NPR, guys, the people, they're real. And then it was like all of that emotional energy didn't amount to any policy. It just got transferred into rage against now the people who are like trying to go back to work. And so the media just seems to be working on pitting these groups against each other.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, look, we're showing this group because this is what they want. And so it's okay for us to promote reopening because people want it, right? And it's like, who are these people? What is their actual like are they mostly like managers of places? Like there's no democracy in any of that process, and like so it's just becomes this like, this vector for the media to be like, see, whoops, you dummy Trump people wanted to reopen, and now there's a much more horrible second wave, and it's your fault.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely like, whatever we do, we're gonna be scapegoated, and then what happens next is like. Basically, our government is taking all of their remaining resources and allocating them to tech companies so that they can further like a system of control through like completely dismantling not only our, you know, social safety networks, but our public spaces where it's like, oh, school? Fuck school, dude. School's just Zoom now. And then like, oh, what? Like, work? I don't know. I mean, Twitter says that all of their employees can work from home forever. So, you know, go ahead and serve the masterclass, the rest of you, because they're going to be ordering Grubhub and you better figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, if they wanted like there to be a like bailout for the restaurants, then they could do it in the form of like, you know, severe rent reduction, because like they can't have dine-in anymore. So if an economy could plan for that, I think it's feasible, but it's still like this awful like two-tiered system of like people who serve the people working from home.
Yeah. Honestly, the fact that we haven't canceled rent yet is so disheartening and should be cause for the remaining liberals to reconsider their faith in.
Right. Or UBI, which even like, you know, every liberal's favorite fucking Kamala Harris is behind, and like Nancy Pelosi. Right.
No,
shut
they love
it down.
They love talking about like how it's not going to work.
It's just psycho. It's like this is like the only, like, you know, the only way to maintain the price tag that they've put on rent is to do that. Otherwise, the rents are going to all go down. There's no way in hell they're not. It's yeah. like I don't know, like I mean, which is good, but in the meantime, that's going to cause like these massive evictions. And like Cuomo's solution is deferment, which is psychotic. And like that's backed up by Pelosi and the Ways and Means Committee and like the Democrats too, because they all want means tested shit. They all want like to bail out debt collectors. They all want to bail out insurance.
I was gonna say the bailouts that they're already offering to sectors like debt collection and to, I mean, we covered like the health insurance thing a few episodes ago, but it actually, I saw that statistic that was like, if we actually gave that same amount of money to people just to shelter in place, that would mean 5 months of $2,000 a month for every single person,
which could help people really like plan their shit, like plan out how they're gonna do a proper quarantine and plan out like, you know, or you know how, like it's just awful because it's endangering the rest of the country, because like it's like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, there's a moratorium on evictions, but there's all these stipulations where your landlords can sue you for the back rent in the future, and you're not going to fucking have it in the future because a lot of these industries aren't fucking coming back.
Right, and exactly. Everyone, like, is expecting you, like an average person, to be able to acclimate to the idea of like losing your employment and then working somehow immediately double as hard to gain things that you lost before, and then also move forward at the same time. And that is such a completely mismanaged step for the system that it just, it's like there's no plan, and we know there's no plan.
Yeah, well, or the plan is indentured servitude, or the literal plan, the ruling class plan is indentured servitude, debt prisons.
Well, they've been working on building that infrastructure.
Like, yes. I mean, because that's how things were before. Yeah, is what, you know, like, and they know that sending people to prison is a death sentence, like, for a lot of folks at this, you know, and it was even before, like, and it's just awful. It's awful. And like the worst part for me is like the constant like gaslighting of like, you know, oh yes, gotta vote blue and Cuomo, and like, I know we harp on that a lot, but it's like, it's really palpable to be here in New York City and to be facing this shit head on, and like to be in a house with like six other roommates all facing this shit. And like
I actually heard a good reasoning for why it is actually way scarier to go with a Democratic agenda at this point, which is like,
let's hear it. I would love to hear it because I'm fucking sick of that.
Yeah, so all right, let me see if I can recreate it. But it's basically like way more terrifying to see a Biden presidency because all of the ways that we're dealing with pandemic response are going to remain the same, and we know that because he's been completely absent.
Yes,
which is the same thing as
he literally said, I don't want to get into a political argument with Trump.
Yeah, which is just like,
what?
Also, word of the day, fucking psychotic. That's your job, buddy. That's your fucking job. So but the thing is that there's not going to be any blame placed on the system. If like Biden gets in, there's going to be like the rationale is not going to be pointed at him. It's going to be like, oh, well, we'll blame whatever. We'll blame all kinds of circumstances, but he's a Democrat and that's great. So he's probably only going to make it like one term before the next much worse Trump is able to then turn this whole argument around on him and like create a larger MAGA structure because of everybody who gets left behind by a Biden presidency. So it's like a more aggravated base who is like way more willing to turn on the Democrats the next round. And then we see ultimate like totalitarianism after that. Whereas if we keep a Trump presidency, we know why it's bad and we can actually take this time to rebuild the left and then just be like, all right, you know what?
Yeah.
It sucks and it's terrible, but actually now we're in a better place to like we have structure. Because right now we have nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a few sweet senators, but that's it.
Yeah, no, and they can't do shit. Like, I mean, they try, but
no, and they're stuck. They've got a knife to their backs, and the person whispering in their ear is just like telling them all to endorse Biden.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely happening, and like I mean, it's cool that, you know, Ilhan Omar has the rent freeze forgiveness canceling bill.
It's saintly,
and we're trying to push it, and it's just like it's extremely difficult when we have folks like de Blasio and Cuomo representing us who are like doing a lot of shit identical to Trump or identical to his wishes.
Yes.
And everyone thinks they're great, and it's like,
well, they don't know what to think. And I mean, people are excited anytime there is some semblance of a plan. But now, I mean, it's just crazy because we're also looking at like, you know, like Jared Kushner weighing in on the elections, which is insane, you know? There's like a huge, there's a piece in Time magazine that basically, because like Kushner is now the talking head for like national pandemic for some reason, ever since he came out as a stockpiler.
It's just absurd. Just all of it.
Yeah, like, but it says, when asked if there was a chance to the presidential election could be postponed past November 3rd due to the pandemic, Kushner said, that isn't his decision. I'm not sure I can commit one way or the other, but right now, that's the plan.
What's like, the plan?
What? No, exactly. Exactly. It's nothing.
Oh my God. And like, and it's like, they're looking to New York right now, and New York is like doing all the same shady bullshit as Kushner and Trump, because they're all in fucking cahoots, dude.
Yep.
Like, the Board of Elections in cahoots with Cuomo. Cuomo's in cahoots with Trump and Kushner, and like, they're all fucking friends. Like,
yeah. They're not gonna screw up each other's day.
It sucks. It sucks, because we just need like fuck, man. I like, where is the militancy? Where is like the pressure? Like, we have nothing. And so they can just walk all over us with policy, because we can't do anything to fight back, or like, you know, us not working is all we can do to fight back right now, or something, you know?
And it's becoming, I mean, it's just becoming increasingly hard too, because we all understand, like, we don't want to destroy each other's lives, and we're paying attention when the World Health Organization tells us this virus may be a part of our lives moving on for the rest of time because of the way that it's mutating.
Right.
And now we're starting to see structures like fundamentally change in certain respects. Like, I mean, not only, you know, education structures or like communication and work, or like, you know, surveillance, but also, you know, there's a lot of like Costco stores that have decided to restructure their shopping layout to like say, you know, here's all these posts and here's like a respacing so everyone is forced to socially distance when they're inside.
Yeah.
And you can tell when large chains decide to, you know, just
permanently restructure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's, yeah, it's wild. And like, I think what bums me out the most is like the probably inability to travel. You know, like that makes me sad.
Oh,
but
I mean, people are still.
I know we still can
out there.
I know we still can.
It's wild.
But it's like increasingly not safe to, and we'll see how that goes. Like, but you know, like the type of like events that I personally used to thrive in aren't going to happen, I don't think, anymore, which is like a real bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
that's pretty weird.
Like, I you know, I love like tabling zine fairs. I love going to nerd conventions, like, and just like meeting people and traveling to different places to do events like that. Like being at a show and dancing with everyone, like all of that sort of shit. I just don't know what the future of that is going to look like, whether it'll keep going, but it'll just be a lot more risky to do it, or if they'll just stop.
Well, we are seeing some strides in the fun zone. For instance, there are drive-in strip clubs now.
Very nice. I did see that photo and it's very good.
Yeah. We're just going to drive to the things we want to see.
It kind of sucks. This is going to like, yeah, I guess car manufacturer, maybe we'll all just go back to that type of America where everyone has a car.
Oh, which is so bad.
It's just so bad, right?
Oh my God. We almost got away. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of drive-in stuff. There's a lot of like, you know, Zoom raves. Whoa.
I know. It just bums me out so much. Like I want to do a zine fair in Animal Crossing. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but it also bums me out that I haven't done it.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. It's like once you do it, it makes it real. I'm actually doing this. It's not a joke.
It's awful. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just a strange time and a bummer time, and it's a shitty time to have to move, and people shouldn't have to move for public health. But like, of course, like there aren't any officials in power that actually give a shit about public health, or else this would have been managed correctly in February.
Yeah. Yep. We're just catering to an economy that doesn't care, doesn't have room for whiners.
Yeah.
What are you sad about 100,000 deaths? Does that make you sad, you babies? My God.
Does it make you sad that like a ton of your neighbors with like children and like are all going hungry, like because the state refuses to recognize them as people?
Oh, what? You can't what, work?
Is that sad to you?
because hundreds and thousands of people are just spilling out onto the streets, starving to death, approaching a winter that will likely destroy them. What? That makes you sad?
God.
Yeah.
God.
Why don't you just get a job, fucking hippie?
Yeah, literally earlier today we dropped off a bunch of donations to our mutual aid group because it's going to get really cold tonight.
Yeah.
It's going to get really cold tonight, so they're doing homeless outreach at the end of the train line. Because, yeah, something we haven't talked about on the podcast is that they shut down New York subways at night, first time in history.
Yeah. Which is like, who knows what that is fixing?
It's, honestly, I don't know. It's like, it's just making a bunch of other problems more exacerbated because they don't have solutions to the other problems. They don't have solutions to like that like the air circulation in the trains are going to be stagnant no matter what, if homeless people are living in them or not, because anybody can be a carrier. It's genocidal language to assume that homeless people are carriers of the virus. They're as likely as you or I to be carriers, frankly, because there's no tests. We don't fucking know.
Right. But hey, don't worry. Like, Palantir's coming. Palantir's coming. Palantir's gonna get us all the tests that we need, and it's gonna all be connected in their program, and they're gonna get every single biometric tidbit from us along with our COVID status to make sure that we are optimized systems, free of terrorism, free of individuality,
and able to work. So they'll put us in the worry-free, Sorry to Bother You was a documentary, all of the Manhattan office buildings that all the rich people aren't going to want anymore are going to be turned into warehouses for Amazon. Every floor will be like a different specialty so that they can just have like two or three workers a floor, and and they'll all be indentured servitude people who are working for housing to work off their housing debt that they accrued by quarantining when they lost their restaurant job or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's gonna rule. I was watching some videos about the history of butlering.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I found this one documentary that is about the guy who was, or okay, it's not about him, but he's the guy who leads you through. Mm. But basically he was Princess Diana's butler.
Okay.
And he was also Robert Maxwell's.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
And stay with me here. No. It was so bizarre because the whole, it was one of these like profile shows, like the day in the life of like, this is where butlers come from and what happens and what they do. And so this guy is like, yes, I'm a world-class fucking shill. And I am going to now show you how I would train a young boy to be a shill like me in a noble practice and teach you how to really have the correct values. And I just thought like, huh, that's going to be like the most sought after job is like, wow, I get to hear what Robert Maxwell says. And the butler, he was like, working for him was a joy. Never a dull moment.
Oh my god, the amount of shit. You're basically like paid to keep your mouth shut and be loyal and like
and you get to live in a house because everyone else is going to be like, you know, who knows where.
Yeah. Yeah, and overcrowded, diseased areas.
It's gonna be awesome. Seriously. Yeah, so I'm just learning about butlering now. So next time you see me and I pretend I have a different name and I have a tuxedo on.
And a shock collar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just gonna, and I'll blink at you a lot. That's how you know I'm still there.
Yeah, that's like the thing. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be like, yeah, you can be our nanny and you get a COVID test and you get a place to live. And
if you're beloved, we'll even give you healthcare.
Right. Yeah. Fuck, man. But there's no future for folks like in the lower class position. They're not going to be able to have children. They're not going to be able to build up a life. They'll just be stuck in contracts that are too dangerous to allow a full existence that a human deserves.
They'll be stuck in the moment, which is a beautiful and freeing place to exist. Where when you release yourself from expectations, you realize that you can access serenity regardless of circumstance. I don't really believe that.
Sounds like VR to me, man. Sounds like Ready Player One shit. Like,
oh, God.
You have this horrible life, but in the virtual, you have a family and you have a lawn and a dog and American Dream.
Yes. In virtual reality, I have a dream.
In virtual reality, I have a future. I have things. I mean, I'm already like feeling that with Animal Crossing. It's like I'm never gonna be able to like hang out normally again. And this is how we hang out now through this silly game.
Well, we can't let it get that dark because ultimately. There are people out there, and they are still making families.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
It's happening. And families are happening.
You know, there's so many children. I have a friend who just had a kid. I have, like, you know, a friend who's pregnant. Like, it's, you know, we have a future to build for these kids, and it's like, we're going to have to figure something out. But, you know, it just feels bleak. It feels like our particular futures are being sold, and it's just dire times with no leadership, you know, and everyone is in the moment, like, because all the info changes every day, and
Oh boy. But you know, gaming is strong.
Love gaming.
Animation has been great.
Yeah.
And you know, the internet is still full of funny videos. Like, hey guys, things aren't all that bad.
We're probably gonna get kicked out of our current place, but I like my weird little housemate situation. We've all banded together and been able to build a decent living situation during like these past couple months. Yeah. And I like the idea of like living in a communal collective, like we're all, you know, in this together type of situation. It's not impossible. It can be difficult, but it can also be really nice to feel like, yeah, this is like a scary, fucked up time, but we're all in it together and we're all working through it together.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, certain aspects of this whole resorting, the social resorting, have been really exciting. Like, yeah, just learning what your community is and realizing that they are genuinely, they've, like, the people who care for you have always been there, and they were previously, like, locked up in some work situation where they couldn't show how much they cared and want to be there.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, sure, we don't have a lot of resources to go around, but we have time.
Totally. Yeah, and we're building these, like, small structures that are helping a lot of people who need help and who are literally starving. And that's not nothing, you know, like, making a mask and giving it to somebody who is homeless is not nothing. Like, and it's something we have time to do, and, like, we should do.
Yeah, do anything you can.
Yeah.
I've been a little bit stuck, but...
But, yeah, I mean, you have to find a new place, and that's coming first. And
yeah, find a new place and go back to work.
Yeah. You got a job again.
Yeah, I bike all the way through...
Oh, my God.
Brooklyn, and I get to see a lot of things on the way.
Oh, man, what is that like? Everything shuttered and shit, or...
So it's very much like the orders of lockdown are different from neighborhood to neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And some rides, when I'm coming home from work, I see bars that will be giving out drinks.
To go
drinks, especially on a sunny day. So mm-hmm. sometimes there's certain places where it's like just crowds of drunk people, like with frozen margaritas, and they're all drinking them on the street and like taking their masks off, and I'm like horrified.
Yeah, so stupid.
And then other places are extremely like thoughtful. And everybody is covered up and like keeping distant and taking care. And then the scariest place is, to ride a bike through
mm-hmm.
is the Hasidic Jewish part of Williamsburg.
Yeah, not surprising. I mean, even de Blasio got it on that. And then was dragged by everybody for pointing it out. But it's just a reality of living in New York City that the Hasids do what they want.
It's like, not only are the majority of people in this area maskless,
mm-hmm.
Or if they're wearing a mask, it's like around their chin and they're just like talking on a phone.
I see that a lot too.
Yeah. But, or like hanging off of one ear, like it's like a dangly. I'm like, why even bother, dude? And then there's also like this lawlessness where it's like, oh, is it a green light for the cars? Because I'm walking in the middle of the street. Hey, it's my neighborhood. I'm just here. Or they'll be driving and then they'll just stop. And like, it's like there's.
They do what they want. The Hasids do what they want.
They do. They do what they want.
It's
going
to fucking kill them. It's horrible. But damn, like they've,
it's
you know.
It's an engine of spread. It's like,
what
if we have these pockets of our borough that are like continuously sort of just out. Everyone is out. Everybody's around. Everybody's in crowds. Same, same. Then like, there's no point in anybody else quarantining.
Yeah, seriously. Cause yeah, they can't follow the rules and you know, I mean, it's just classic. I always remember the like this is like a common story. This happens in districts all over New Jersey, New York. Basically like Hasidic neighborhoods take over like poorer neighborhoods, mostly like brown and black neighborhoods, and take over the school boards and then defund the schools so that they don't have to pay as many property taxes.
Whoa.
Because they don't care about the public schools. All their kids go to yeshiva school.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And that's like that's the Hasid attitude. They don't give a shit about other people. They never have. I mean, that they have their own. They think they can live in their own bubble, even though they're in the middle of the most diverse city in the world. You know.
Yeah. Hey, you said it.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to say anything. I have no comment.
No, that shit. It's troublesome, and it's like we have to be working together to stop this thing, and like it's already like really hurting their community, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like it's in their best interest to just cooperate with like the guidelines, but you know, I'm just saying it's just classic Hasid behavior to not.
Right. Yeah. And of course, this is like the stereotype that we are exploring. Of course,
not all Hasidic communities, but
not all, never all.
Never all. And you know, after like that the big funeral and a bunch of people got sick, I think like they did sort of listen for a while, but I just don't think it's sticking.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way that we're gonna see everything open up. It's not gonna be any official decree really to start working. It's gonna be people just slowly sort of finding their backs up against a wall or starting to realize that they're going to
there's no relief that there's no relief also.
Yeah. And it's just gonna be like, well, you know, we have to continue on and we'll do the best we can, and we'll just know that there is a, you know, there's a 5% chance that we'll just die. It's, if you know, today could be the day.
But, okay, wait, let's talk that 5% chance, because that's like, is that the figure everywhere, or is that the figure for China? Because, or like other countries, because I feel like the...
No, it's here.
Okay, because here's the thing with that for me is like, I feel like the United States is going to have more than 5% because we have all these other chronic health problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like if they do like open up more, I think that we're going to see more children deaths here, for example, than in other countries, because I think a lot of like children who grew up here grew up in like terrible conditions, like lead housing, you know, lead drinking water.
And not to asthma. Mention like, yeah, respiratory,
yeah,
like, environmentally caused preconditions.
Yeah, and I do think that that the United States is going to have a higher death rate than other herd immunity places. You know, we have less healthcare when we're not actively building more, we're actually cutting.
Yeah. And they're starting to build this narrative too. It's not even really a prediction. It's like, mm-hmm. People are talking about the death toll of children, mm-hmm. In New York specifically, is like that there are like 5-year-olds that have passed away to some inflammatory
There was at least one in New York, and I know there's one in Detroit, and there's probably more, but that's the two I saw.
Yeah, there's 3 that are confirmed COVID deaths of children in New York.
Oh God.
But I'm guessing that because there's 3, there's probably actually hundreds.
Yes, for sure.
At least.
For sure.
And that's the other thing. It's like, we don't really know like you're saying.
Yeah, we don't
there's
know
all these mixtures of factors, and this is just exasperated.
Yeah, because I think I'm thinking about all the after effects of 9/11 too. Like it rippled in all of these ways. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. I can't fathom it.
Yeah. At this point, we are just moving forward step by step. And
do you want to hear some fun, angry bullshit my landlord threw at me?
Yeah.
So, we were trying to negotiate a reduction because most of us have completely lost our jobs and are having a lot of trouble getting on unemployment because of our types of jobs aren't designed for unemployment. So we tried to reach out to the landlords in April and they kept wanting to talk to us on the phone individually. And we kept being like, no, we'd really prefer to talk on email. And that made them really, really mad. And then they came to our house and left these 14-day notices on our door.
So psychotic. Ding, 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 ding. And psychotic.
And it's the landlord's son who came, and he's literally a doctor. What are you doing? And he came with like either his friend or his boyfriend. I think he's gay. I think it was his boyfriend. And the boyfriend was not wearing a mask at all.
Ugh.
And the doctor was, luckily.
Which means you have like a 60% coverage rate or something.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. Because, you know, if they're boyfriends, then, you know, if they're spreading COVID already, you know. If they came here together in a car, it's useless, you know. Like,
right.
A car with Florida plates, by the way. These are folks with like property in Florida for sure. And
insane. Go back to where you came from.
Yeah, and because they were so mad that we wouldn't call them on the phone that they came to talk to us in person, and we recorded the interaction, so we have that. But like, the thing with us is like the folks who pay rent here aren't really comfortable going to court, which is why we're probably just gonna have to give 30 days notice to vacate and just find new places.
Right.
I think if we went to court, we'd win in a insane landslide, and and potentially be given money.
You have to have people in your corner, though, which is the thing that I've been realizing is like,
yeah,
it sucks to be the only lefty around when you have an idea and you think like
this could work.
Yeah, like you have the vision.
Yeah.
And then people around you are like, definitely not. Definitely not helping with that. That sounds stressful.
And it is stressful. But you know what is more stressful is doing this later when we have no savings.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, waiting for issues to compound has never been the hallmark of adulthood.
Not and good.
Yet, here we are all doing it nationally.
Seriously, God, great way of putting it. Great way of putting it. Because everybody I've talked to, like legal counsel and other folks who are familiar with stuff like this, is like, yeah, they don't have a fucking case. Like, your landlords don't have a case. Like, my building is literally not registered. Like, they're not going to be able to get the back rent out of us. So it's in their best interest to just accept our reduction and get something. But they still are refusing to. So we're probably going to have to leave.
Yeah.
But they haven't. They've been silent for like 3 days, so I have no idea how to proceed.
Ooh, it's like that time in the movie Tremors when they think maybe that there isn't a tremor because it's quiet, but then it turns out that there is a tremor, and it was just maybe sleeping or something.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and that's why we're pressing the issue now, because if we do just want to like they were like, oh, we'll take your security deposit, we can be like, yeah, we don't care, take our security deposit, that's fine, like we'll do our best to move, stuff like that, like we're trying our best like to work with them and figure something out. I mean, they have no leg to stand on, because we're not even on a lease technically, we're on a month to month. So a lot of landlords can pull the bullshit of trying to defer and get the money back later, which is what Cuomo wants them to do. But if like our landlord doesn't really fall, like even though they're trying to, they're using legal language like they're trying to do that, but they have no leg to stand on because we don't have a lease. So we have the power. We still have the power to walk. Right. Some people don't have the power to walk unless they want to break the lease prematurely, which is like a whole thing, I think.
Yeah. Housing law.
So I'm a lawyer now.
Yes. Oh my God. No, will you not become a lawyer? Can you just do it?
I don't know.
Help us.
I don't know. Maybe. At this point, maybe. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe.
Would make a good lawyer.
Because it's, you know, I like to fight. I like to stand up for people who are being fucked over by, you know, landlords or bosses or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So maybe I should, but I'm just kind of a fuck up dumbass, so it's a little hard for me to completely figure stuff like that out, but I'll be able to. Once I get some space and once you know, me and Joey are signed on to a lease we can afford for a year that is safe.
You heard it here first, folks. Maybe. These are the little seedling concepts that started OK Fox's blossoming career as a public defender.
I would love, honestly. I mean, I know it's going to be, it's just brutal. I know what it actually is brutal, because you just lose all the time.
Well, you're not all the time.
Yeah, not all
you gotta,
the time.
You gotta have that hope. I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to brainwash myself these days, and because I don't have any concept of what the future will actually be, I'm like, hey, you know what? I just actually tapped out on fear again, and am now going about my business as if it is not completely insane to be operating in the art world at this point. And it's kind of working, actually. I did a talk.
Yeah, that's right. How did that go?
So it was kind of amazing. I did a talk on the Future Fair Instagram account.
Yeah.
With my dealer business partner, Jane. And it was cool because we ended up, you know, we were talking a little bit about art and labor, and saying like, yeah, it's pretty weird that you know, we've been doing this podcast now for a couple of years, and all of a sudden now it's kind of trendy for artists to have like working class politics. And we're happy about it and we welcome everyone, but it's an interesting thing to note. And just like being able to say stuff like that in an art fair context was kind of exciting. You know, just kind of easing into it. Of course, I'm not like trying to, I don't know.
I mean, folks should know that pre-COVID, you were on a trajectory to be doing well.
That's true.
You really were. Like, you really, really were.
I mean, it's kind of, it's all right, though. I think, you know, who knows what would have happened and who knows what's coming.
No,
it's,
I mean,
basically where I'm at now. I'm
you're,
just like,
you're, you know, you're an extremely talented painter and you got it going on. And we all were about to have our lives together before COVID.
I know. Weren't you going to be working on a TV show?
I was inches away from like literally serving at Matt Berry's feet, which is like my like dream in life, basically.
Oh my god.
Because I'm like literally obsessed with him. Like I love Matt Berry.
Maybe you can still connect with them though.
I don't know how film and television productions are working nowadays, or how that's going to happen again, or if that's
a lot of them are working on animated scripts.
Yeah. I mean, I assume because this would be for What We Do in the Shadows. Maybe they'll do an animated season of What We Do in the Shadows, which would actually be dope,
dude. Right? And if they're not working on it, you should call them up and tell them to do that.
No, I'm sure they are, and also like. What I would be doing is just like I would just be doing errands for the like the writer's room, you know, which is not going to be a thing anymore, you know.
Oh, true.
It's like not a job that's gonna exist anymore.
What if we had writing rooms and they were all in they're all little boxes?
Yeah, it's like prison, and I just like serve the meals like the guard at prison, like knock on everybody's door.
Yeah,
like, your coffee, sir.
Yeah, and then you slide the coffee into a little chamber, like as if with uranium.
Yeah.
and then it seals and it goes over to them once it's been cleansed.
Yeah, I mean, like liquor stores have it all figured out already. Frankly.
Oh, everything bulletproof.
Everything bulletproof, like, and because like I went to the beverage wholesaler today, and I was like, "This is dope."
Yeah. Like, can I get a jar, please?
Like, seriously.
Yeah, I would like to work in a plexiglass box.
Maybe next time I go, I'm like, "Are you guys hiring? I live down the street."
Oh my god! Yeah. They're like, you're not the first person to ask, but you seem like the most sober.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm doing fine. Like, you know, we'll figure it. Me and Joey will figure something out. We'll find a place to live. That's like just the two of us, which is something we've wanted to do for quite a long time anyway. Right. It sucks to like not like, you know, maybe if we had like a nice landlord, like we could give them a little bit and they could give us like time until we find a place or something. Maybe that'll still happen, who knows, but they've been so psycho this whole time. Like, oh, part of the letter, they were so after like the grandson came and like confronted me, like talk to me, we got like the letter from his mom being like, and like okay was holding an Amazon package and said we have no money, and like
oh, for Christ's sake. Wow. Yeah, I mean, because everything on Amazon is priced out of everyone's possible realm of expenditure, like
which, jeez. One thing, it wasn't my package. I don't order from Amazon. I try not to. But it's like, you know, the thing is, like, people have to because we're in quarantine and the grocery stores keep running out of shit and the grocery stores are too dangerous to go to.
God.
Like, do they really not get, like, that we have to order essentials online? Like, that, like, even if it, like, so, it's just so bizarre. It's like, oh, poor people, how dare you have a refrigerator or something like that.
Yes. No, it's so true. It's so true. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you actually poor? Because it looks like you're wearing clothing to me.
Yeah, but I would just love to serve that letter at like a court date and be like, yeah, this is like what we're up against. This is the type of landlord we're dealing with here. Somebody who's like so out of touch that like, you know, they don't realize like what the reality for the people in the eye of the storm in New York City are dealing with right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just everyone is completely out of touch and terrified, and it's gonna be like we're just going to see more instances of everyone turning against each other along these sort of like artificial identity lines, like, you know, being a landlord. What does that mean? Oh, it means we all have this, now we're collectivizing as landlords who are a struggling identity in this. Yeah.
Did you see that insane Bloomberg article about, like, if the landlords don't get paid, then Wall Street wins or something?
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I wasn't able to read it because it's paywalled, but I was reading part of it and just...
This is our secret news.
Ugh, my God.
Anyone who is still paywalling their articles is just being so cavalier about their bourgeois status. They're just like, oh, I'm sorry, what? You want to, like, hear what we have to say? Can you afford to?
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's great. But hey, you know what? Rick and Morty is back.
Good.
And that actually does a lot for me. I don't know about anybody else, but the episode that just broke their, you know, like after their break, and they had like the kind of second debut, and it was mind-bendingly awesome.
Okay. Maybe I'll watch it. I've watched a lot of it, but I'm behind.
I would highly recommend. Well, it's going to be hard probably for people that don't know all of the references.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a high IQ to understand.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to be like pretty tough.
No, that's like a meme. You know that meme.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
okay. I wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Listen. Bro, listen, bro. It's actually really smart, bro.
No, I've watched like several seasons, but I think I stopped at one point.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't expect anybody to keep track of this as closely as I do. But this is like a great episode that actually deals with consumerism during the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah, so the whole episode in a roundabout way is about myth making and supporting, like, how psychotic it is to support capitalism during a time of crisis.
Yeah.
And they also take pot shots at Christianity. Which is great.
Well, why not? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, if anybody's still mad about their Catholic upbringing or something, like, it'll be cathartic.
No, you should try to go on Struggle Session again. That'd be great.
Oh, we have to talk to them about The Prisoner.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
We should.
That'd be good. And also, I want to talk to Artie from Death Panel about his piece.
Oh yeah, flattening the cube.
Yeah, I just, you know, because of everything, I haven't really had the fucking capacity to schedule people, but maybe I could now.
Yeah.
Schedule that. Yeah. Oh, Dana has a new piece about like museum workers and stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, what an insane nightmare. Tragedy is happening to our cultural sector. Just nightmare.
So we have to do an episode with that on that. That's all things we need to be doing episodes on, but gotta get the headspace to do it.
Yeah, we have to just keep chronicling.
Yeah, we're doing our best.
Oh, other update. Today, earlier in the afternoon, started back up the Constructing the Real.
Cool.
Reading group, which is, it like takes so long to get everything actually going at a smooth way.
Yeah.
But if anybody is interested, basically, I started an offshoot of the Art and Labor Discord. Mm. So it's like, it's just a different Discord, but it's got some of the same people in it. And every text that we're going to go through has its own channel. And then the general is just there for like how to schedule.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's just a quiet place of study.
Very good.
It's you know, but everyone's invited. If you want to go through the reading groups and collectively make a study guide for each other. So we're all going to be like posting notes and questions for each other, and then meeting up either like weekly or biweekly for a video call where we talk it out.
That rocks.
Yeah, it's turning into school.
School is nice.
It's great. Gives you knowledge, and knowledge is power.
That is beautiful. And so, yes, people check out that. People support us on Patreon because, you know, life's rough. If you're, I mean, your life's probably rough too if you like our show, but.
Yeah, true that.
If you're independently wealthy, give us some money, maybe. I don't know, on our Patreon if you feel like it.
If you got a dollar, you could give it to us. Yeah, and then you gain access to super cool art and labor Discord, which has like hundreds of people in it who are all just like chilling and having a great time.
It's a good zone.
And then also now we're branching out and we got a little school zone too if you want to get heady.
Hell yeah. And we have bonus episodes on there that we've never released publicly. So,
oh yeah. And writing.
And writing, yeah.
So, yeah. Check it out. So, we got a bunch of things. Don't get at us about t-shirts.
Please, we're just, God.
We're not consumers like that.
Figuring it out. Just, life's hard.
we're not pumping things out just because we think we're supposed to.
God damn. So, I'm doing our best. Okay. Thanks everybody for supporting us, and take care, and let's have fun.
Yeah, let's have fun. WFMU of podcasts.
Communist WFMU.
Yeah.
That's us. All right, bye. I care if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and make it have. Drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you destroy a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care because I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun, lots of fun.